Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Encounter Life Church. This is Pastor Dwayne, and I'm excited that you joined us this morning, this Sunday morning, for our time of worship. I pray that your hearts were encouraged and blessed as our worship team just got our minds ready and our hearts ready to focus on this mighty, this awesome God that we serve. If you're new to Encounter Life and you've never joined us before, whether online or in person, again, I'm happy you're here, and we want to connect with you. So we have a very simple way you can do that. You can do that just by your phone, just sending us a text message. And you're going to text us at this number, 301-804-2520. And all you need to type in is new, N-E-W. Say, I'm new. And we just want to connect with you and let you know we're glad you worship with us today. If you're by your computer, you can connect with us right on the website. If you're on the website, you can go to encounterchurch.net/next, the next tab, and then there's our online connection card, we call it, so we can connect with you that way. As you're watching today, you might be in need of prayer. That connection card is a place for you to indicate, listen, Pastor, will someone contact me? I'm in need of prayer. Or if you're looking to be in a community, a part of our small life groups, we call them. They're like online Bible studies that meet via Zoom all throughout the week in different areas. If you want to be a part of that and figure out how you can connect more with what we're doing here at Encounter Life, you can find that right on that connection card as well. And as the word goes forth, I pray and I expect the Lord to speak to your heart. And however he speaks to you, we want to hear about that so we can help encourage you, help build you up in your relationship with God, so you can indicate that on that connection card. We'll bring your attention to that later as well. Again, listen, we have a lot to be thankful for, but we got a lot to be praying about in our world. We talked about it last week, and we dealt with an issue that is really big. Well, why, God, do you allow bad things to happen? You know, we talked about a tremendous tragedy that our church family has experienced within the past just over a week that we've experienced, coupled with what was going on in our world. We saw the craziness at the Capitol and all that's going on, all the tension. And I'm going to tell you, I said it to somebody this week, sometimes I can feel like it's this cloud, a dark cloud hovering. They started hovering in 2020, and that cloud, we were hoping to get a little break into 2021, but I don't know about y'all, it's just kind of carried on into 2021. And it can make you question God sometimes. God, you're good, and your word says you're good, but why do you let bad things happen? And we talked about that last week, and we talked about how sometimes life, there are painful situations in life, and why does God allow the pain? We talked about pain, P-A-I-N, last week, and we said that pain comes, those painful situations, those bad times, those hard times come because pain is a product of sin. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and that's just the way it is. Man, by one man, sin entered in the world, and then death by sin, so that it passed on to all of us. So the painful experiences that we have in life, whether it be death, whether it be illness, whether it be crime, whether it be racism, all of it is a result of our fallen world that we live in. Pain is a product of sin. But we also said that pain is allowed because what he does by allowing pain, he allows pain for his good, for our good and for his glory. It accomplishes our good for his glory. Sometimes God said, listen, I will work all things together for your good, for the good of them who are called according to my purpose, those who love me and are called according to my purpose. So God will allow painful situations to accomplish good for his glory. What the devil meant for evil, sometimes God means it for our good, and he gets all the glory out of it. But also pain comes to identify truly where our faith lies. Sometimes a painful situation comes into our life, tragedy, trial, hardship. It shows us where we've been putting our trust in. And sometimes God allows that to happen to realign our faith and to get it placed in the right thing, not in ourselves or not in our stuff or not in the things of this life, not in the people, places, and things, but we should put our faith and trust in him alone. And finally, we said pain, in the letter in pain, reminds us that in new life is coming. That this world is not our home, that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a greater eternal glory. Listen, he's got a home waiting for us, and he wants us to begin to set our thoughts and our minds on things above. So we talked about pain last week. You know, another really painful issue that we have to deal with in life that we want to, God, just put on my heart for us to deal with this morning is an issue that I don't believe we really kind of deal with in church a whole lot. We know it's there, and it's almost like a stigma that's attached to it, but it's something that's really real, and it can have far-reaching effects that affects individuals. It can affect families, entire bodies, churches, and it's something that we want to talk about this morning, and that's the issue of our mental health and mental illness. And I believe that is something that we really need to talk about in the church and to remove the stigma on it, because I think there is help for those who are hurting today when it comes to that issue of your mental health. Listen, whether it's a transient thing, whether it's something that is longstanding, I believe God's word has something to say, and there's some principles that we can apply, that we can glean. And I pray that, listen, as we're sensitive with this issue, because we believe there are many people who battle this, as we deal with this, I pray that God is able to provide you with some help for the hurt that you might have when it comes to our area of a mental, emotional health this morning. Before we get to that issue this morning, can you pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord God, that your word has something to say about every aspect of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us, that you're concerned about every detail of our lives. And Lord, your word says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Lord God, we know that there is a battle in the mind. Lord, you tell us to renew our minds. And today, Lord, I come on behalf of my brothers and sisters and all of us who are battling in our minds right now. God, I pray, Lord God, that you will provide healing and help for those who are hurting emotionally, Lord, in their mental health, and let them know that you care about them. Let them know, Lord God, that you desire to use them and that there is healing available, God, for them. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we look in the scriptures today, when we talk about mental health, that's one of the issues that we have been dealing with here in our local body, in our church. That's why God just really put this on my heart. You know, the Bible talks about it. There are people who battled in their mental health in the scripture. You know, I just think about King Saul. When King Saul was tormented in his spirit, in his mind, young David had to come in and play a harp to kind of calm him down. Mental health is real. And today we're going to look at a passage in the book of Kings and 1 Kings at one of the most well-renowned prophets who had an issue with his own mental health, to the point where this man was doing great things for God, but he's still battling his emotions and his mental health to the point where he didn't even want to live anymore. And he had accomplished some great things for God. He had done some things that nobody had ever seen before. But still, in all of that success, he still battled on his inside. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how high you go. It doesn't matter what your station in life. You can struggle with it. But God, I want to let you know that God, listen, he loves you. He's not done with you. And there's help for your hurt. You know, before we get into the passage this morning, there's some statistics that I just looked up in as we were preparing for this, and about how real mental health is and why in the church we need to deal with it, because it's something that people struggle with and we want to remove the stigma from this deal. Look, when you look at the statistics, according to a National Alliance on Mental Illness, 20% of adults suffer from mental illness. 1 in 5 adults suffer from mental illness. 50% of all lifetime mental illness occurs by the age of 14. 70% of all of it begins by the age of 24. So I said 20% of adults struggle, 1 in 5 struggle with mental illness. But not only that, 17% of youth ages 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder of some kind. And those are serious numbers. I'm going to tell you what else we found out, that 1 in every 10 Americans, it takes an antidepressant. You know, that's over 30 million people are on antidepressants. What does that tell me? That 1 in 10 Americans are taking antidepressants, and 17% of our youth struggle with it, 20% of adults struggle with it. It tells me that it's a real issue. And I'm here to tell you that God has something to say about it, and he wants us to be able to get the help for that is necessary. But before we do that, you know, there's some issues that we got to get some clarifications and some misconceptions in the body of Christ that we got to deal with. And I call them, there's some lies that we got to deal with before we can get to the healing. But before we do that, where does this mental health, what areas, what is some of these areas of these mental health issues? One of the issues is stress. Stress can lead to some serious mental health issues. Listen, when situations arise in your life that cause you to feel stressed, that's actually stress. The response to stress is not an abnormal response. It's called like the fight or flight response. When you have a stressful situation, your body it secretes certain hormones to help you prepare for to fight or to run. All right, these are things that are a natural response. An example, if you're on a highway and you're driving and a car jumps out and you slam on your brakes, that's stress. Boom, your body responds. And what it does, it allows you to be able to either, it makes you more alert, it helps you be able to fight the situation. That's on a short-term level. But what happens when it's not just like a short-term incident, like a short-term stress, when that stress goes into days and weeks and long-standing trauma like 2020. What happens then when you have prolonged illness or unresolved conflict or ongoing trauma, it causes a negative effect. Short-term stress can actually have a positive response to help you deal with it, but when it goes long, it can have a negative effect on your health. It can have a negative effect on your give you emotional symptoms. That's stress, but unlike stress, stress comes from an external. It's an external stimulus that brings it. But unlike stress, then you have anxiety. Some of us struggle with stress, but there's other of us who have anxiety. And anxiety comes from, it's an internally caused, and it's defined by persistent, excessive worries that don't go away even in the absence of a stressor. So those are things of stress we have from outside, the trauma or something outside, whether it be short-term or long-term, that's from the outside. And then we have anxiety that can come from the inside when there's nothing on the outside, that we have this internal thing that's going on that is causing us excessive worry. But both stress and anxiety, they are two things that can lead to something else that some other people battle, which is depression. And depression is a real thing. Depression is a common and it is very serious medical illness, and it negatively affects how you feel. I'm going to give you some examples what it can do. It can lead to a variety of emotional symptoms, physical problems. It can decrease your ability to function and work on an optimal level. What happens? Depression symptoms, some symptoms of you having depression. Here's some symptoms: feeling of sadness or having a depressed mood. Other symptoms of a loss of interest or pleasure in activities that you once enjoyed. Also, changes in your appetite or changes in your weight, either increased weight or abnormal weight loss. Trouble sleeping at night or sleeping too much. If you've been staying in the bed too much, you know, loss of energy, increased fatigue, increased purposeless physical activity, and then feelings of worthlessness or feelings of guilt, then difficulty getting clarity or thinking or concentrating and having a hard time making decisions. And finally, one of the ultimate signs of depression that manifests itself, unfortunately, is thoughts of death or suicide. We have stress. We have anxiety. These things can lead to depression. And I'm here to tell you there are people who battle it and suffer with it. I never forget several years ago reading the story and hearing the story of a young pastor who was pastoring this church out in California somewhere, who had a wonderful family. And all of a sudden, right after he had preached on mental health, he took his own life battling depression. And the thing about it that is so unfortunate, do you know there are so many who are watching me today who may even suffer with stress, anxiety, depression, or any other kind of mental illness or mental emotional issue that are suffering in silence because, you know what, I don't want nobody to think I'm crazy. And I'm going to be honest, y'all, especially in the black community, I never forget Sinbad. I watched Sinbad one day. He was doing one of his stand-up routines, and he was talking about this issue of mental health. And he said, black folks, we don't even go see, we don't get help. We just work it out. And he was talking about a man at a bus stop, and he's just talking to himself, just working it out, because we don't want anybody to think negatively of us. I had someone ask me today, look, when you're dealing with this and when you've seen so much and you've been exposed to crime and you've got all of this stress and anxiety on you, how do you go tell somebody about that? He didn't even know what to do, how to handle it. And if you're watching me, if you're a follower of Christ, you know, sometimes we can get so spiritual, we think it's something wrong with some folks. Sometimes we can act like we think it's something wrong with folks dealing with depression. Like, just snap out of it. Depression, sometimes stress, anxiety, is not that easy to just snap out of. Before we get into our text this morning and kind of give some tools to help us with our hurting in this area of our mental health and emotional health, I want to deal with some lies. I said I want to talk about some lies and misconceptions that people have, especially in the church. Number one, I want you to know, listen, what lie number one from the pit of hell, that, look, I'm all by myself. Nobody else has this problem. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I want to let you know right now, you are not alone. I already told you, 20% of adults in this country, 1 in 5, struggle with some kind of a mental or emotional health issue. You're not by yourself. And what the devil wants to do, one of his tools, is to isolate you, make you feel like nobody else has this problem. And then what that does, that drives you deeper into a depression. I'm here to tell you, you are not alone. You're not all by yourself. That's a lie number one, that you're alone. I want to encourage you that you're not by yourself. There are other people who have struggled with this, people that you know. There are people who seem like they got their life all together, and social media makes this even worse, because now I'm looking at Facebook and Instagram and everybody's snap and all this, and everybody looks like they got it all together, but everybody don't have it all together. You're not by yourself. I want to let you know that you can get help. Number two, the second misconception, the second lie from the pit of hell that I want to deal with is that you might feel that my faith is faulty. What are you saying, Pastor Wayne? You might be feeling, look, maybe I'm not as deep as I should be in my walk with God. I'm not as spiritual as I should be. Me feeling this way has something to do with my spiritual state, that I'm not as connected to God as I should be. And I want to let you know, if you're battling depression or any kind of mental, emotional health, it does not mean you're not spiritual. It just means you're human. If you're battling anything like that, it doesn't mean you're not spiritual. All it means is that you're human. And then the third thing that I want to deal with is this. Look, God can't use me when I'm like this. God can't use me. You feel like I've been disqualified. I can't sing on the worship team because I'm dealing with anxiety. I can't serve on this ministry because I'm dealing with depression. And I'm here to tell you that God used Elijah. As we look in 1 Kings, he used a mighty man of God who dealt with depression. He used David. David, all throughout the Psalms, was talking about his own issues, battling depression and talking to God. And God, listen, he can use anything. All through the scripture, our God uses broken pieces. God uses broken pieces. Why? Because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. So I'm here to tell you, don't feel that God can't use you. Not only can he use you, he wants to use you. Because when he can use you, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. We're looking in the scripture and see all of the broken pieces, all of the ragtag people that he used to do great things for him. It wasn't because of them. It was because of him. So I want to let you know, God can still use you. You know, how do I know that? There's a whole lot of people, not just in scripture, but in life, who battle with mental health, mental issues. God used. You know, one person I want to mention, because this is, listen, tomorrow is Dr. King holiday. Dr. King battled depression. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. battled depression. In spite of being one of the most widely researched leaders of all time, the father of the civil rights movement, he, Dr. King, who we will celebrate, who we've been celebrating this weekend, whose birthday was just this past Friday, who we will celebrate on tomorrow and the holiday, he battled depression. And just think of all that he accomplished. Think of the impact. Where would I be today if it weren't for his influence? He even battled depression. Look, I was reading at it in 1968, Time Magazine said, listen, they did a profile of him and said he suffered several bouts of severe depression. And shortly before he was assassinated, his staff even tried to get him to get a psychiatric treatment, which he turned down. Look, man, it's real. Mother Teresa battled depression. Charles Spurgeon battled depression. Martin Luther, and not just Martin Luther King, Martin Luther. God uses, listen, he can still use you. He's still got a plan for your life. But the fourth misconception and lie from the pit of hell is that all mental health issues are spiritual. All mental health issues are spiritual. Can I tell you, listen, in a sense, when we talk about all health issues, when you want to talk about spiritual, it's because we're in a fallen world. We're not in a perfect world. Sin, with sin came disease and everything else. But listen, just because mental health issues are not all spiritual, certain mental health issues, I ain't just going to pray away. It's okay to get help. There are certain issues that I need medication for. I'm here to tell you, look, when my wife has diabetes, so what? My wife takes insulin. There are other people who have high blood pressure. So what do? They take blood pressure medications. And you can pray it away, and God can heal you. But why? There's not the same stigma in someone taking insulin as somebody taking blood pressure medicine as there is from somebody taking medicine for mental health. I'm here to tell you, it's okay to get help. And we do need to pray for healing. But while you're waiting for your healing, do you know there are certain chemical imbalances? I just already told you that when you have stress, your body releases certain hormones. There are certain things that get released chemically that can predispose you. There's a genetic sometimes. There's chemical predispositions that can lead to certain mental illness. So I'm here to tell you guys, listen, all mental health issues ain't spiritual. All of them are spiritual. So we want to deal with that so that you don't have to bear that weight, that you can say, listen, why can't I get rid of this depressive spirit? And you're feeling like there's something wrong with you. Maybe you just need to take your medicine. We wanted to deal with that today. As I look at this, 1 Kings chapter 19, an amazing prophet of God who did amazing things. I want to turn your attention to 1 Kings chapter 19, and I want to read down verses. You look at 1 through 16, but I want to start through verse 4, 1 through 4. And I just want to kind of give you a background. What had happened happened right before this as Elijah just finished showing up all the prophets of Baal. Elijah showed up and said, listen, my God is the real God. The God of Israel is the real God. All of your prophets and all of your little God, Baal, he's fake and he's phony. And he said, I put my God up against all of y'all. And so Elijah said, look, he built an altar to the one true God, and all the prophets of Baal built their altar to their God, and they were sitting up there cutting themselves, and he said, look, whoever the first one who brings fire down from heaven to chew up the sacrifice, to burn up the sacrifice, is the real deal. So Elijah, his one man, he built this altar to put the sacrifice on it, surrounded it with this big moat of water, and these other prophets, they get over there and they build their altar, and they up there dancing and making all this noise and cutting themselves and calling up to their fake God, asking him to send down fire, and Elijah's just looking at them like, psh. And all he did is call on the one true king. And that one true king, he came, woof, ate up that sacrifice. And what ended up happening? He showed up all those prophets, and they all were wiped out. Man, what a humongous victory. And then God brought rain. There had been famine. I mean, there had been no rain, a drought in the land. And God brought rain down. And Elijah had seen God do some miraculous things. And right after God had done miraculous things and used Elijah mightily, this is what he says in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Because Elijah, listen, after he had done all that, you would think people would be patting him on the back. But King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, now they weren't trying to congratulate Elijah. They wanted to kill him. So what happened? When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel, his evil wife, everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me by this time tomorrow if I have not killed you just as you killed them. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. Elijah just finished doing great things for God, and now somebody wants to kill him for it. He said, that's it, God. I mean, I can't take this stress is too much. I cannot take it too much. I've done all this for you, and this is what I get. I get somebody trying to kill me. I just want you to take my life. Elijah was battling depression because of the stress that he was under. I'm trying to do the right thing, and still this is what I get. God, I'd rather not live. I don't know what it is that is leading to your depression right now. I don't know. It could be genetic. It could be medical. But I'm here to tell you there is help for you today that we want to give you from God's word. And I want to just give you four things. I want to give you 4 points today to help us how to deal with the issue of your mental and emotional health and how God can help you with this situation. And it's coming in the form of the word help. H-E-L-P. What God wants to do is provide you help. Number one, what do you have to do? H, be honest with God and ourselves about what we're thinking and we're feeling. Be honest with God and ourselves about what we're thinking and we're feeling. What did Elijah say to the Lord? Take my life. He told God, Lord, I've had enough. He didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to smile and act like it was all good. He was honest with God and himself. This is how I'm feeling right now, God. If you go back down and see what Elijah said, verse 10, Elijah, the Lord said to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I've zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Elijah said, I'm done. God, I'm just being honest with you. I've tried to serve you, and now this is what I get for. God, what God wants you to do today, right now, don't try to hide it. Listen, if you are a church leader right now, I'm talking to my church leaders because I heard one leader say, where do leaders go when they bleed? Sometimes you're trying to be strong for everybody else, so you kind of sometimes fake it till you can make it. But I want to let you know, you got to be honest with God, and you got to be honest about with yourself about how you're feeling. What's going on with you? This David was also honest with God. David's another person who was honest with God. If you look in Psalm chapter 42, verse 9 through 11, listen what David is talking to God. He says, oh God, my rock. You can hear the conflicted nature. He's calling him my rock, but he says, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? God, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Today, in order for you to get the help that you need, it starts with you being honest. Honest with your feelings. Honest with God about how you're feeling. And honest with ourselves. Do you know sometimes when we pray and we talk to God, we're not honest with God. We try to come to God and put on airs like he don't see it. He already knows. He already knows I'm struggling. He already knows I'm dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. So what I need to do is like David did, like Elijah did, just cry out to God, God, this is it. I feel like I'm going to lose it. To say out of my mouth that I don't feel like living anymore, it sounds sacrilegious, but God, that's what I'm feeling right now. And see, the first step to you getting your healing is being honest with yourself and being honest with God. You got to self-assess. That's what God wants you to do. So today, I implore you, I encourage you, spend some time just coming clean. Coming clean with God and coming clean with yourself about what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And sometimes you kind of can get distracted into so many other things. It's hard to get clarity. But God wants you to be still and know he's God. Get yourself still to a place where you can just process and communicate with God honestly. That's H. Be honest with God and with yourself about what you're thinking and what you're feeling. But the next thing you do, once you're honest with God and you admit to God and you admit to yourself that I'm depressed, I'm dealing with some anxiety, I'm dealing with some stress, I'm struggling with suicide, thoughts, whatever it is, then what you got to do is evaluate how you process your thoughts and emotions. Evaluate how you process your thoughts and emotions. First, be honest with God about how you're thinking and how you're feeling. Honest with God and yourself. And then evaluate how you're processing your thoughts and emotions. What do I mean? Ask myself, am I focusing on the problem and my inability to fix it? Or am I focused on the promise-keeping God? See, am I focusing on the problem or am I focusing on God's promises? See, that's what you got to ask yourself. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes when that stress, when that anxiety gets on me, because when I right now we are in a time, our world is in a stressful mood like it has never been before. I don't know about you guys, man. I felt this cloud over me, as I said it this week. I told my wife, I just want to sit down and watch Coming to America, watch some funny movie and just hang out with the wife and just not think about it, because it's like, whoa, what am I doing? But God said, no, don't shut your brain off. I want you to evaluate how you're processing your thoughts and emotions. Are you focusing on the problem or are you focusing on the promises? Because God is a promise-keeping God. Yes, we live in a fallen world that has sin, but God would, what he would have me to do is to stand on his promises. And when I begin to stand on his promises and focus on his promises and believe that he's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he will change his mind, he says, his word says, if I said it, I'm going to make it good. Even in the midst of rough situations, I got to believe that God does what he says he's going to do. So today, sometimes what you need to do is you need to refocus your thoughts. He said, be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. I referenced it earlier, and I believe it, we are to set our mind on our thoughts. In Colossians, to set our thoughts and set our hearts on things above. You gotta refocus your thinking. Look at what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 8 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, that's what God needs. That's what he, in order for us to get help for this dealing with depression, in order for us to get the help in dealing with the anxiety and stresses of life, we have to be honest with God. Starts H, be honest with God about how I think and how I feel. Honest with myself about how I think and how I feel. E, I have to evaluate how I'm processing my thoughts and emotions. Am I focusing on the problem or am I focusing on the promises? And I encourage you today to begin standing on the promises of God. But you can't stand on promises that you're not familiar with. So what are you saying, Pastor Dwayne? How do I become more familiar with the promises? What you have to do, you have to drive yourself to the Word of God. You got to drive yourself to the Word of God. That's what that renewing your mind is. You have to super saturate. You have to saturate yourself with God's Word to flush out all the negative images of this life. Because we're surrounded with them. Listen, negativity and immoral images and negative images, they get into your system by passive diffusion. you don't have to make that happen. You just got to walk down the street. You can just open your phone. It's just there. But you have to be intentional. You have to be intentional about setting your mind on things above. He said, look, you gotta fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Things that are excellent and praiseworthy. That takes some intentional work. You got to be willing to put in the work, y'all. Battling this thing is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be easy. I got to be honest. But I got to evaluate how I'm processing everything. And sometimes I can go to the negative first because I haven't filled myself up with whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true. Today I would encourage you to evaluate how you're processing your thoughts and emotions. Do you go right to the negative? Or do you focus on the promises of God? I want to encourage you to do that. Be honest with how you feel. Evaluate how you process your thoughts and emotions. Next thing in getting help, the letter in help is L. What I want you to do is L, link up with a community of people who you can safely reach out to. Link up with a community of people who you can safely reach out to, especially the body of Christ. Look, I told you before, you don't want to battle this alone. You cannot be a lone ranger when it comes to your mental health. You must be connected with a community of people that can help encourage you and help build you up. One of my favorite scriptures is in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I'm here today. You got to be linked up with a community. One of these ways to battle this deal, I told you, one of the devil's tricks is to make you think you're all by yourself. And one of the things you'll find out when you link up with a community of people who you can safely. Now, listen, it's not safe to share with everybody. It's got to be people who got your best interest at heart. And I would encourage you to be some people who have some substance and some spiritual foundation with them. Not that, you know, some substance and spiritual foundation who can speak some truth into your life. I encourage you to do that. But you got to be linked up with a community of people. You cannot be afraid to be vulnerable. It requires you. Listen, if we're going to deal with this, it's going to require there to be some vulnerability. With that being said, this is kind of like a sanctified pause as I talk to the church right now. As a pastor, I'm here to tell you right now, as the church, it grieves my heart. My sister and I were having this conversation this week that sometimes, you know what, the church, we are supposed to be that safe place. We are supposed to be that place where the broken can come and find healing. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes the church doesn't feel like a safe place. Sometimes there's some people who suffer in silence. That's why you'll have a pastor where that can happen too. I had a friend of mine who was a church musician. He smiled all the time. I used to play basketball with him every week, and he was the nicest guy. I mean, the most pleasant guy that I knew. And all of a sudden, somebody told me he took his life. I would have never known it. Why? Because he didn't feel like the church was a safe place. Sometimes we come into this building thinking, listen, making, trying to make people think like we got it all together, and we all struggling. So what we got to be is transparent. We got to be vulnerable. The body of Christ, well, we got to be a place where people, where the hurting can come and say, God loves you like you are. Just come just like you are. We don't, and look, it's not even a place where you need to come fix people. Too often in the church and too often as leaders, we're trying to help fix problems. But the only one who's the mender of broken hearts is God. The one who fixes it is through his mighty Holy Spirit. All I got to do is love you like Jesus, lead you to Jesus, and leave you with Jesus, and let him do the healing. So church, we got some work to do. Are we loving people like Christ? As I look at the scripture, there was a whole lot of broken people that Jesus interacted with. And he didn't try to put them in help programs, or he didn't beat them over the head with the scriptures. And when they're sharing their hurt, I didn't chastise you that you shouldn't feel that way. I just want to open my arms and love you like Christ. Lead you to the arms of the Master, because he's the one who does the fixing. I don't have to do it. So that's so important for you today, to link up with a community of people where you can safely share, that you can safely reach out to, where they can embrace you and love on you and listen to you. Be a shoulder for you to cry on, to encourage you and let you know, guess what, you're not by yourself. I've been dealing with that too. You know, there's something this encouraging and something strengthening about finding out, guess what, I'm not the only one. I'm not some anomaly with two heads. Church, we all messed up in some kind of way. I told you last week that we are all a product of sin. By one man, sin entered, so death by sin, so death passed on all of us. So somebody, all of us got an issue, whether it's depression, whether you are a freak, whether you got some addiction problem. I don't care what it is. Everybody's broken, but the only one that can fix it is God. So what God wants you to do is be linked into a place, a safe space, a community where people are going to love you just like you are. We ain't going to judge you. Listen, God wants to change you, but he loves you. He loves you too much to leave you that way. I don't have to be the one to do it. I just got to provide you a healthy environment for him to work in. That's all I got to do. I just got to provide the soil, the environment for his strength to do the work. And God does the fixing. And I want to encourage you, find that community. Listen, we're right now in 2021 and 2020, we're churches are online, so sometimes we're not in the building. You can still find that community. Look, right now, it's a great thing. We have communities online. We got virtual community, but you need to have somebody where you can share this struggle with. And not somebody who's going to co-sign, but somebody just a shoulder to cry on that would encourage you in the right way. Look, I was reading a post from the Guidepost blog. Young lady wrote this in a blog about how your pain can help others. And this is what she said. One redeeming quality of my struggles is that I can apply whatever nuggets of wisdom I learned to make someone else's life easier. I can help others in new ways. I can be a better friend, a better listener. I can ask better questions, and I can empathize first before jumping into problem-solving mode. This gives me something constructive to do with my pain. Isn't that awesome? He said, I can empathize first before jumping into problem-solving mode. That's what God wants us to do. Empathize with people. Don't try to fix the problem first. And do you know when you're able to do that, when you share your pain and it's able to help somebody else, do you know you get help in the midst of doing that? God is able to provide you with help and healing as you're able to share your struggles with somebody else and find out, man, I'm not by myself. It encourages both of you. Today, if you want help, God wants to help you where you're hurting, whether in this issue of our mental, emotional health, honest. H stands for honest. Be honest with ourselves, honest with God, how we think and how we feel. The E is we have to evaluate how we process our thoughts and emotions. Then L, link up with a community of people who you can safely reach out to. Listen, in the body of Christ, we need to be that safe space. If we haven't been that safe space, as a pastor, I had to ask myself, has Encounter Life, has Washington Christian Center, has this church been that safe space? And in areas, God has shown me, look, sometimes, Dwayne, y'all haven't been that safe space. I mean, I know you meant well. It's like that church in Revelation. Look, we know you're good on your doctrine. You got this. But sometimes, you know what? We haven't been that safe space in certain areas. Sometimes you have. Sometimes you haven't. God said, look, it's time for us to be that safe space. Get out of problem-solving mode. Start to empathize with people's pain. That's what God wants you to do right now. He wants you to do it, not just in the church, but as an individual member of the body of Christ, be somebody who empathizes with someone else's hurt. And then the final letter in help, letter P, is professional counseling and medication is a gift from God. Professional counseling and medication is a gift from God. Y'all probably didn't know where I was going that last letter. You didn't expect that, but I'm here to tell you that there's sometimes, yes, you got to be honest with God about how you're thinking and feeling. You got to evaluate how you're processing your emotions and begin to shift your focus from the problem to the promises of God. Get on your knees and spend time in God's word. Yes, you got to be in fellowship. Link yourself to a community. But finally, you might need to get some professional help. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you less spiritual. That doesn't make you less of a Christian. There's no stigma. There should be no stigma attached to that to say, look, I want to get the help that I need. Proverbs 11:14, in the multitude of counselors and advisors, there is safety. Whatever you need to do, God has placed men and women in the body of Christ. There are professional Christian counselors who are skilled in the Word of God as well in the secular realm of counseling that can help guide you through this. Because sometimes, listen, there's some things that you need to do to kind of get through it. There's some natural things that we need to do to get through this. When you look back at our passage, and we see with Elijah, when he was depressed, The first thing that God did, they said, verse 5, he lay down, got some sleep under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. Look, sometimes there's spiritual problems, but sometimes we need some natural help. We need some natural help. It's the natural and the spiritual working together. Yes, seek out professional counseling. I recommend professional Christian counseling that can counsel you in the Word of God and also deal with the medical aspects and emotional and mental aspects of the issue to can help guide you through this. And medication. Listen, as a physician, a doctor, there are certain things that, look, I have to take medication for, I have to prescribe medication for, that are going to help. Do you know there are certain issues in the body that you just need to take the medicine for a time? And if that's what is necessary, that's okay. Don't think anything less than that. God can listen. And what I love about it is God created it. See, all of it is every good and perfect gift comes from above. Do you know, God, that there is nothing, God, there is, all it is uncovered, what God has already revealed and God has established. God created it all, and if he wants to use it for your health, man, take advantage of it. So today, God, there's help. There's help for your hurting in the area of your mental, emotional health. Honest with God, honest with ourselves about how we're thinking and how we're feeling. Second, evaluate how we're processing our thoughts and emotions. And what do we need to do? Make sure we need to shift as we evaluate it. Shift from focusing on the problem to focusing on the promise keeper and the promise and the promise keeping God. And then L, link to a community, preferably a godly community of people that you can safely reach out to who can help you in this situation. And P, professional help, professional counseling. If you need to get professional counseling, seek out professional counseling. If you want to know, man, who to go to, I don't know where to go. I don't know who's a good resource for me. Please reach out to us here at Encounter Church. Look, you can go to the website, encounterchurch.net, and indicate, boom, look, I need prayer. Or you can write on it, I want counseling. It's not going to go blasted out to a whole lot of people. It goes to a private person who could contact you, and we can put you in contact with somebody who can provide you with the help that you need. There is help for your hurting. God has a plan for you. He's not done. Do you know he's not done with you? I want you to know, listen, don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie that the devil says that you're all by yourself. Listen, you're not alone. There are other people who are battling this. Don't believe the lie that God can't use you. He wants to use you, and all he uses is broken people. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's what 2 Corinthians 12 says. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Don't think that your faith is faulty. There's nothing wrong with your faith. It just means that you're human. We live in a stressful, a fallen world, and sometimes, listen, that can affect us. And there are certain things that we're predisposed and we're born with. It has nothing to do necessarily with your faith. It might just be the fact that I'm human and I live in a fallen world. Man, get the help that you need. Before we close out, in addition to those things, some things that you can do at home. If you've been battling with this, and you're battling in your mind, and battling with this issue of depression, again, get the help that you need. Get connected. Be honest with God. All of those things. But some things that you can do. I do this with my patients all the time. They come to me with a foot issue, and I give them the diagnosis. I give them a prescription. I give them stretches, and I sometimes I have to give an injection. Sometimes there's surgery. Sometimes I have to prescribe something. But then every now and then I tell them, look, I'll give you a sheet of things that you can do these right now at home on your own. Number one, you need to get on your face and pray. You need to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. You need to get on your knees. Spend some time alone with God, focusing on his promises and praying and telling, asking God, God, I need you to help me. Cry out to him for help. He wants to help. So you need to, that's number one. That's something you can do right now. Fall on your face before God and drive yourself to his word. That's number one, something you can do. Number two that you can do. Look, these are natural things you can do. Just like Elijah got some rest and he got something to eat. What I want you to do is get some regular physical activity. Get some regular physical activity. Take care of your temple. Mental health sometimes is a byproduct of us not taking care of ourselves. You need to get some regular physical activity, especially right now in a pandemic. You've been locked down. You need to go take a walk, walk your dog, do something. Y'all see me on social media. I try to get out there. Take care of your body. Everything, listen, is worship. Take care of your temple. Not only that, get enough rest, y'all. Turn off CNN. Put down your phone. Take off the Facebook and the Instagram and everything else. Stop scrolling through your feed and go to bed. Go to bed. Get some sleep. My wife always gets on me. That's the area where I need to work on. I'm going to be honest. Getting enough sleep. Get enough sleep. That's so important for that because, God, you want to be effective for what all God has for you. Also, make sure you take care of what you put in your temple. Do you know there are certain foods and certain things you put in your body that can affect your mental health? They can affect your physical and mental health. You want to give your body tools to be able to fight off certain things. So you got to be careful what you put in your body. Also, manage your time. Be careful on how you deal with your time. And finally, cut back on some stuff. Know how to say no. Know how to say no. What some obligations that you need to cut back to reduce the stress in your life. Even as I'm saying this, my wife is saying, practice what you preach, preacher, because I need to do the same thing. Cut back on some obligations. Know when to say no. God, listen, he wants to help you, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Guys, be that safe space, that safe community for somebody this week. Amen. Can I pray with you right now? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that you're concerned about every detail of our lives. And I pray for my brother, my sister who's watching me today, who's been battling in their mind right now. God, there's somebody battling depression. There's somebody who's battling suicidal thoughts, and they've been feeling like they're by themselves. Let them know that they're never alone. God, there are other people battling, but not only are there never other people, let them know, God, that you'll never leave them or forsake them. That yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear because you are with us. Give them that confidence to know that you're with us. But let them know, just like you let Elijah know, and let Elijah see it, God, as we look in the Word. Elijah, who was depressed, you showed him that there are 7,000 others, God, who just like you, who haven't bowed the knee. Let them see that they're not by themselves. Encourage them. Be the lifter of their heads today. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, I come against the enemy right now for somebody, Lord God, who's been contemplating doing something negative to themselves or somebody else. God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will put a stop to it right now in Jesus' name. God, that you will bring somebody to speak truth into their life, to completely change their mind. God, I speak healing and, Lord God, encouragement over someone's mental health right now. God, you will cause us. You want us to be healthy, God. You desire us to be effective for you. And let them know, God, that they don't have to wallow in guilt. God, they don't have to wallow, Lord God, Lord, in the depression to know that, Lord God, even if they're struggling with the stress, that, God, you still have a desire to use them. I thank you, Lord God, that you're a God who uses imperfect vessels for your glory. Let them know that your strength is made perfect in their weakness right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, listen, last thing I want to say is if you've never come to know this Jesus, look, you could try all of that stuff in your own power, but the first thing I want you to know is that God wants a personal relationship with you. He loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and the only way that you can walk in consistency with that plan is to have your sins forgiven. The reason why we deal with mental health is because of sin, and God sent his son Jesus Christ to take care of that sin. But in order for you to have that relationship, first you got to admit to God that you're not perfect, that you're separated from him. You got to believe that he sent his son Jesus to die for you, and you got to make the choice to invite him into your life to be your Savior and Lord. If you'd like to make that decision today, I'm going to just say this. I want you to just repeat this after me. Say, "Dear God, I admit that I'm separated from you by my sins. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for me, and he was buried and he rose again. Today I make the choice to invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sin and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Look, if you prayed that prayer, let us know. Look, you can either text the word next to 301-804-2520 or go right to our website, encounterchurch.net/next, and let us know I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of my life today. Again, reach out to us. If you're looking for somebody to help you with your mental health issue, please reach out to us on the website and say, "Look, I need prayer. I'm struggling with that." We'll put you in contact with somebody this week. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, awesome week.